Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Starting in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This happens to believers. This happens to believers in their carnality, but it can also happen to believers who are walking in the light, who are walking in the Spirit. That suddenly they start looking at their circumstances or their condition or their desire or whatever it happens to be. And they say to God, don't you know? Don't you care? I have this just claim and you are ignoring me. I have a righteous cause and you are not honoring. I have a way that's right before you. I desire that which is toward your kingdom, and you are ignoring it. Do you even hear what I am saying to you, God? And God says to them, haven't you heard, and have you not known? The God who is everlasting, who created the heavens and the earth, He doesn't faint and He doesn't get tired. He doesn't not hear. He's not lacking presence. But His ways are unsearchable and they are past finding out. In other words, you might not get it, but God is not passive. Though you might not get it. When you consider what we know, you realize that we know nothing. Our problem is that sometimes we think we know something. The righteousness of my cause, God. Really, you think you have something there, don't you? But God's ways are unsearchable and past finding out. He has understanding that I can't even begin to conceive of. He has wisdom that is so far beyond me that Paul was told by God he could not repeat much of what he saw in heaven. There were things that John, who was told to write down the things that he saw in Revelation, there were things he was prohibited from writing down and repeating. Why? Because God has wisdom that would destroy me. God's ways are so far above my ways, I have no human capacity whatsoever to contain them. When God does something, He does it in a way that I can't even perceive, and therefore frequently I don't see Him in the details of my life. Is it that He is absent? No, it is because I am blind. To the blind, that which is obvious may be imperceptible. I'm blind. To God, it's obvious. His ways and His understanding are unsearchable. This is one of the things that believers do sometimes. Is we can try to search out the ways of God. The problem is, we can't do it. We can try to get a handle on God's ways. We can try to get a handle on God's will and God's plan. But we can't do it. And if we think that we finally have figured out something, in short order, God will show us that we have figured out nothing. You see, this is an element of humility that I have to respect as a believer. Because if I don't respect this element of humility, if I don't possess, and that's what I'm referring to, this element of humility, then I will say to God, my cause is righteous, why are you ignoring me? But God knows. God knows, and He understands. And He knows things I don't possibly have the ability to conceive, and yet He understands them in all of their intricacy. I don't know how it is that the world started spinning apart from perhaps God made it spin. But why does it continue? Is it really the law of inertia? Perhaps, but even that seems difficult to me because there are so many gravitational influences in the cosmos. So is it really the law of inertia? There is so much dark matter that changes the way that galaxies move even, much less function. Or excuse me, much more function. But I can't understand it. So why does the world spin? And why is it that we manage this nice little orbit around the sun when there are such great gravitational influences, dark matter, things flying through our solar system that should be tremendously affecting us, but they're not in any significant way as to even change the course of the planet around the sun? Why is that? Well, who is it that set the stars in their courses? He understands how that works. I can't figure it out. He understands the origin and I can't figure it out. He understands the origin of my thoughts and I can't figure it out. He understands my heart, but my heart is not conceivable or understandable to me. And so He says, I don't even know my own heart. But He understands it. See, there are things that God knows that I cannot begin to comprehend. But there are many things that God knows. I rely on the things God knows. I don't rely on the things I know. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because I have to rely on the things God knows. I cannot rely on the things I know. When the Holy Spirit shows you the things to come in John 16:13, it's based on His understanding, not mine. And I'm not saying He's going to give you big prophetic visions or anything like that. Those were the Old Testament prophets. Today we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But He reveals things to us for our own lives. He gives us rhemas as opposed to just logos. He gives us illuminations of the Word of God to the particular circumstances of our lives. He might give us a call or a vision. He might give us a gift of knowledge. He might give us something about our own lives. And He might give us specific promises for our own lives. But it's always according to what He knows, never according to what I can understand. This is why so many in the Old Testament, particularly, but also in the New Testament, people like Peter, for example. This is why people in the Old Testament could be given promises from God with no reasonable or legitimate ability or probability of their occurrence. This is why David, 15 years before it happened, could be anointed king. Samuel told him he would be a king. And then he goes on the run. Well, I'll guarantee you, it did not look like David was going to be a king. But God told him he was going to be a king 15 years before it happened. God told him he would be the king. Abraham was told years before it happened that he would be a father, even though it was, at this point, biologically impossible. God wasn't concerned about what was possible or impossible. Nothing is impossible to Him. All things are possible through Him. That didn't bother God because He knew how to make that happen. David's condition with Saul pursuing him did not bother God because He knew that He would take care of David. He knew that there was nothing Saul would be able to do, even when he went so far as to throw a spear at him. He knew that the spear would miss. He knew that when David was in trouble and Saul was conspiring against him, that Jonathan would come through for David. He knew these things. He knew when the Philistine was standing there that David would trust him, and really all it took to take the Philistine down was one rock. And David was willing to throw it. That's really all it took, was God knowing. It didn't even take so much God's omnipotence. How tough is it for God to throw a rock?
Well, God is omnipotent. He can throw a rock.
Yeah, okay.
He can throw a planet if He wants to.
You see, we act like these simple things are such great mysteries from time to time. We think God is a man like we are, but He's not. God knows. There are things that God knows. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3, in the B part of the verse, the Word of God says, "The Lord is the God of knowledge." The Lord is the God of knowledge. It's really talking about doctrine. It's really talking about all the things that pertain to the ways of God. But it's also talking about all knowledge. It's also talking about the fact that God knows all the possibilities and their outcomes. It's also talking about the fact that God knows all ways. And it's also talking about the fact that God knows all hearts. God knows all thoughts. God knows all motives. God knows what's happening somewhere in the universe where we can't even see. And yet He has intimate knowledge of exactly what some little satellite or planet or star out there or comet is doing. Some little ice ball out there. He knows exactly. And He actually controls them, because really, in this manner of speaking, that life is extraordinarily unique here on this planet with extraordinarily unique conditions. And we are in an extraordinarily unique place in the galaxy, which is the habitable zone. And our galaxy has extraordinarily unique features to allow us to be here. We're at unique positions from the sun. We're at unique positions from the other planets. We're at unique positions from other galaxies. Why? Because He's holding it all together, and He knows how to do it, and He's doing it, and He knows what He is doing. Do you ever worry about whether the Earth will go crashing into the sun tomorrow? Probably somebody on the internet is now going to start worrying about this. God knows how to hold it in place. Yet I worry about the details of my life, which are so much simpler. It's just simply God saying, "Okay, I'm going to whisper something." And He whispers something in the ear, and there it is. Or it's this angel, like, "Guide that." And the angel takes you, and there it is. And it's so simple to God, because He knows. There are things God knows. We act like He doesn't know anything, but He knows everything. I know nothing. I am not the same as God. I don't know beans. God knows how many beans there are on this planet. I am not the same as God. He is the God of knowledge. In Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place." The eyes of the Lord are in every place, and they keep watch on the evil and the good. How many people are very nervous about what they don't know because they know there is evil out there? How many people are perhaps in a situation where they are being challenged or perhaps attacked, persecuted in some way? How many people have someone who's creating difficult circumstances in their lives? God knows the hearts of those people who are creating. Hey, God is in the conversations that take place in secret. He is there and He is listening. His eyes are watching. He sees them huddled together and He hears the words that they speak. And He knows the thoughts of their heart and He knows the motives. God knows exactly what is going on there. He is present and He guides us in all truth. God knows things. What does God know? He knows their words. What does God know? He knows their plans. What does God know? You know what it's like? It's like having a spy in a high-level meeting of the enemy. And the enemy is meeting and conspiring and planning and figuring, and there's somebody there who's on your side. And that somebody is big enough and great enough to take out the enemy in a heartbeat. And He guides us through these things. He guides us through the valley of the shadow of death. He guides us through the warfare. He guides us through the difficult circumstances. He guides us through it when somebody starts attacking us. He guides us through these things. He gives us wisdom we don't even know we're getting. Why? These are the things that God knows. He knows these things. The Word of God says in Psalm 139 and verse 2, "You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar." How often are people afraid of being misunderstood? How often are people insecure about whether they're making the right decisions? How often are people insecure about what the next step is supposed to be? How often are people insecure when they simply don't know the answers? Well, one of the things that God knows is my rising up and my sitting down. In other words, He knows when I'm active, He knows when I'm resting, He knows all about it, He knows what I'm thinking at those times. He's not unaware of what got me to where I presently am. Hey, He knows your genetics, He knows your biology, He knows your history, He knows your family history, He knows what's going on, He knows your epigenome, He knows all the things that you got inherited and all the tendencies you have, and He knows you intimately. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. He knows how to prepare for those thoughts. He already has a plan established on the fact that He knows what you're going to think. Forget what you're going to do. He knows what you're going to think that will lead you to what you're going to do. And He knows how to change those thoughts when necessary. These are things that God knows. In your lives, always consider what it is that God knows. You get intimidated or scared or insecure or nervous about something, consider what God knows. He knows where you are, and He knows what you are thinking before you thought it. In Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of a man. The Lord knows the thoughts of people. The Lord knows the thoughts of your friends and of your enemies. The Lord knows the motives that people really have. Sometimes believers get afraid of people. What are they going to do to me? They have influence. They have authority. They have power. What are they going to do to me? Are they going to hurt me? Are they going to take something away from me? Are they going to damage me? What are they going to do to me? Are they going to hurt my family? What are they going to do to me? God knows their thoughts. God knows their thoughts. See, when God says that the end of the thing is better than its beginning, then understand something. He knows the thoughts of all involved. He knows how to make the end better than the beginning. He knows how to make all things work together for good to them that love God. He knows how to make all things be for your sake. He knows how to orchestrate your lives. These are things God knows. Never forsake the things God knows. You don't know what they are, but don't forsake the fact that He knows them. See, this is an area where people sometimes get in trouble. They base their trust in facts rather than in a person. Facts don't have character. Facts don't have integrity. Facts don't have purpose. Facts don't have will. God has all of those things. Don't so much worry whether you know the facts. Get to know the person of God. Because He knows. The Word of God says in Job 23:10, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Do you understand that? God knows my decisions and my actions. God knows my responses. God knows how I'm going to handle things. And He will allow certain things to test me. But that is so that when He has tested me, I may come forth as gold. He knows exactly how much I can take. I say, I can't take it, and God says, you're already taking it. What are you talking about? Has your heart stopped breathing and your lungs stopped breathing? Your heart is beating, you're breathing, your blood is circulating, you can handle it. Oh, you mean your emotions are responding in negativity? Correct your emotions and have them respond to the right thing. And then they will no longer respond in negativity. If your emotions respond to the facts, your emotions will be unhealthy. They will work against you. But if your emotions respond to the person of God, then your emotions will be profoundly healthy and they will work for you. But God knows these things. He knows in Psalm 103:14, He knows our frame and He remembers that we're dust. He doesn't expect things from us that we are not capable of. He doesn't look for us to do something. He just wants us to respond to Him. He wants us to give Him our heart because there's no other place to put our heart and have it be safe. And He knows that. He knows the thoughts that He thinks toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, in Jeremiah 29:11. And that He desires to give you an expected end. He knows this about Himself, and He is not insecure about Himself, and He's not insecure about His heart toward you. Now sometimes, because we don't really know Him, we are insecure about His heart toward us. Sometimes we're insecure about our hearts toward Him. But He's not insecure about either one. Because God also knows that He is able to keep that which He has committed to us. He is able to fulfill His promises. He is able to work His will and His plan. He knows whether I'm willing or whether I'm unwilling, and He's not really worried about it because He knows how to deal with my willingness or unwillingness. He knows how to change the heart of a man. Maybe somebody powerful is standing against you. He knows how to change that person's heart. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He knows how to add or remove people, how to add or remove provisions, how to add or remove circumstances. These are simply things God knows, but we do not. He knows the right way, even though it is higher than my ways, in Isaiah 55, 8, 9. He knows the right thoughts, even though they are higher than my thoughts. He doesn't become insecure about the fact that my thoughts are not his thoughts, because he knows my frame. He made me out of the dust of the earth. Why would he not remember that my frame is nothing more than dust? Well, he made me out of the dust of the earth. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Word of God says that no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. And that word temptation is not just temptation of the sort that we generally think, but it's really anything that tests us. Any trial, any temptation, any sort of testing whatsoever. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is no trial or test, no circumstance that can possibly come into your life that you are not able to handle. Why? God won't permit it if you can't handle it. God will not allow a person to be tested beyond their capacity. God may expand a capacity, He may fill a capacity, but He will not exceed a capacity. He might challenge your capacity, He might cause your capacity to grow. But He will never exceed your capacity. Sometimes people get into things and they say, I just can't handle this. I have no capacity for this. Well, then the Bible is wrong. What you can't handle is trying to do things in the power of your flesh. But then again, you're not intended to. What you can't handle is having your emotions respond horizontally to circumstances instead of vertically to the person of God and His character. That you cannot handle. But that's not something God has given you. Often when people do that, it's because they are responding and reflecting in their emotions. But the emotions are being misused at that point. God knows your capacity. God knows how to get you out of a trial through a trial. God knows exactly what you need in the testing. And God knows how to provide it. And by the way, yes, He is willing to do so. He knows how to do these things. He knows what these things are. Peter told us that we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like. He gets it. He understands better than I do because he understands it with a perfect mind. He knows. In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How many people wallow in temptation? Well, the Lord knows how to deliver them out of it if they are in fact willing. See, here's the thing about temptation. Sometimes believers like their temptations. So they never grow out of these temptations. The Spirit-filled believer doesn't get tempted a whole lot. Once in a while, the enemy may come and project something. But the Spirit-filled believer does not get tempted a whole lot. Why? Because he doesn't like his temptation. The person who gets tempted a lot is a person who is enjoying the temptation. And so they in fact welcome the temptation because it tantalizes a portion of their lust patterns that they won't cross a line for, but they wish they could. You see, the heart is deceitful. If you're a person, and I don't think it's anybody here, but I'm talking to more than just people here. If you're a person who gets tempted a lot, consider, do you enjoy your temptation? You know you don't, you know it's wrong, but would you really like it if you could? Even though you know it's wrong? If you could somehow get God to wink at it, would you go for it anyway? Well, such a person likes their temptation. But God knows how to deliver us out of temptation if we are willing to be delivered. A person who is undergoing legitimate temptation, in other words, Satan tempts them, that's not sin. And God knows how to deliver him in that temptation. That happened to Jesus in Mark chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4. It happened to the Savior. He was tempted, but he never succumbed to the temptation. It was Satan who was tempting him. But he wasn't sitting there fantasizing, oh, it kind of really would be nice if I could have everybody bow down to me, if I could have dominion over the whole earth. It would really be nice if the angels really did come. And but people do this. People do this. No, he rebuked the enemy with the word of God. And God delivered him from the temptations. In Isaiah 46:10, the word of God says that God declares the end from the beginning. God knows the outcome of things. And God even declares what the outcome of things will be. This is part of the Holy Spirit guiding us in all truth, where He shows us the things to come. God tells us what the outcome will be. God gives us promises. God gives us an expectation. God puts it on our hearts to pray for certain things. God tells us what the outcome is going to be. You don't need to be worried about your circumstances. The circumstances have already been established by God, and God has already told you the outcome of the circumstances. God already told you that no weapon formed against you can prosper. God already gave us people in the Bible who have gone through things similar in different details, but similar in nature to the things we're going through, so that we can learn from the things that happen with them how God responds in those circumstances. Somebody's coming against you. Somebody's trying to set you up. Well, God says that no weapon can prosper. God says that if you set a snare, you fall in it. And then God gave us people like Haman to show us exactly what happens when somebody tries to set a snare for us. So He let other people go before us to show us how it actually works. God knows the outcome of your life. Young people, God already knows who you're going to end up marrying. God knows these things. You don't have to worry about it. He already knows these things. God already knows what you're going to do for a living. God already knows the outcome of your education. God already knows the fruit of your call. God already knows how you're going to respond to Him in various instances. He knows these things. Don't worry about them. He already knows these things. They've already been set in place. The provision is already there. The people you need to do certain things are already in place. You don't have to worry about anything at all. God knows these things. If you want to worry about them, you're not going to change the fact that God already knows them. You will, however, change your ability to enjoy His presence now. So really, you can rob yourself or you don't have to. Personally, I'd rather not. The Word of God says, it continues there, He says, and from ancient times, the things which are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all My good pleasure. Are you afraid whether God's will is going to come to pass in your life? Well, it was established in ancient times and God will do all His good pleasure. So the answer is yes, it will. It will come to pass in your life. Will I respond at the right time to the right initiation from God? The answer is yes, God is able to do all His good pleasure. Yes, you will respond in positive volition to the things that God initiates in your life. You don't have to be worried about it. God already knows how to make it happen. He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. Luke 16:15 in the A part of the verse. God knows our hearts. In Psalm 44:21 in the B part of the verse, He says, He knows the secrets of our hearts. Other people may not know the secrets of our hearts, but God knows the secrets of our hearts. Genesis 3:5. God knows that in the day you eat of it, that's talking about the tree of knowledge, your eyes will be open and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. That wasn't a good thing. God knows the consequences of the decisions that I make. God knows the consequences. God knows the potential decisions and all the consequences that come with each potential decision. He knows the outcome of things. He knows if I go this way where it will lead me, or if I go that way where it will lead me. He knows the outcome of things. This is why it is so much better for me to acknowledge the Lord in all my ways and let Him direct my path. To go in my life in the ways of God. Because He knows the outcome of things. He knows the outcome of His ways will be for my great benefit. He knows the outcome of other ways will be for my destruction. And so He says, go on the narrow road. He says, follow the Lord with all your heart. Pick up your cross and follow Me. Why? He knows the outcome of these things. He knows what happens to the rich young ruler who cannot sell all that he has to follow God. Who will not give up his life. Who will withhold something from God. He knows the consequences of that. And He even tells us what the consequences of that. If I preserve my life, I lose it. There is the consequences of self-preservation. The loss of my life. What is self-preservation? Self-preservation is living at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Its practical manifestation is self-consciousness resulting in self-orientation. Looking at all my situations and the things around me with my natural understanding, looking by sight, and letting that separate me from God's ways. Making decisions based on sight rather than based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that separates me. And God knows these consequences. And spiritually it kills me. God knows. And so he says to me, the just shall live by faith. He tells me that his way is higher than my way, so that I wouldn't trust my way against his way. Because he knows the outcome of both ways. And God's outcome is better. God knows. God knows these things. He knows where I'm coming from. He knows where they lead. In 1 Samuel 3:13, he knows the wicked and what comes of the wicked. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. And he's talking about Eli, the carnal high priest. Because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. The wicked, those who are unsaved, those who are religious without possession of salvation, those who live in outright sin, God knows their iniquity. On the other hand, for the believer in Hebrews 10:17, he does not remember their sin or their iniquity. He knew it and forgot. Because his all power took care of his all knowledge. He knew it and forgot. But he does not forget the iniquity of the unsaved. How many times in the Bible had Israel encountered an enemy and then decades, sometimes even centuries later, God dealt with that enemy because he did not forget what that enemy did to Israel. David, when he was at the end of his life, told Solomon to watch out for two men. One of them cursed him, and one of them was not faithful to him. Even though in his outward he was faithful, Joab was a faithful general inasmuch as he fought for the king, but he was not faithful to the heart of David. He didn't leave David. He just ignored what he said sometimes. And so what does he say to Solomon? Don't let these guys have any peace. Don't let them die in peace. He said, watch out for these guys. So the one man I promised I would take care of him, but that promise dies with me. You, Solomon, deal with him. And Solomon did. Solomon killed Joab. And Joab was David's nephew. Solomon killed Joab. Why? Because David did not forget the iniquity of the unsaved. David was willing to forget the iniquity of Absalom. David absolutely forgot the iniquity of Saul. That David was not willing to forget the iniquity of the unsaved. And so Joab was killed by Solomon because his heart was not loyal to the heart of the king. If any of you ever end up in leadership positions, maybe you'll be pastors or pastors' wives or some other teachers or some other leadership positions. Always put people around yourselves whose hearts are loyal, who have godly character and loyal hearts. You don't need people with great skills or great knowledge. Those can be taught. But a person who is loyal is very difficult to find. Those people you put around yourselves. Because they're the ones who are going to help you to carry the work. In Job 34:25, God knows our works. God knows our frame. God knows what occupies us. He knows these things. He knows the fruit of our lives. He knows these things. In Deuteronomy 2:7, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through the great wilderness. He knows you're trudging through wilderness times. He knows how you are responding. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are experiencing through the wilderness times. And these 40 years, he says, the Lord your God has been with you and you have lacked nothing. Let me ask you, those of you who might be going through a trial, in your trial, what have you lacked? Have you lacked peace? That's the only thing that believers will lack in trials. And that's usually, again, because their emotions are not responding to the character of God, but rather to their external circumstances. But what have you lacked? I remember when I went out with my back the first time. Spent a year on my back, unable to work. My wife was already ill. She wasn't able to do anything about it. She didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. We had a mortgage and we had to pay our own health insurance, which was like a second mortgage. We were putting out far more money than we were taking in because we were taking in nothing. But we never lacked. There was not one time when we couldn't meet our bills. There was not one time when we couldn't have something to eat. We never lacked. In your wilderness experiences, God will make sure that you lack nothing. Where people get in trouble, where they have great difficulty in these wilderness experiences, is when their emotions start looking externally. They look at things by sight. They say, "Oh my God, it's a wilderness," rather than just saying, "Oh my God." In your wilderness, you will lack nothing. Consider what God knows. In Matthew 6:8, the Word of God says, "Your Father knows that you have need before you ask Him." You don't have to beg God to give you what you need. God says He supplies all your need. And He knows what you need before you ask Him. So don't worry about what you think you need. If you need it, you will have it. If you have a need that's coming, the provision for that need will come when the need arises. If you don't have it, you don't need it. "But I need this. Do you have it?" No, then you don't need it. "But I would be much happier if I had it." That's only because you're putting the source of your happiness in a thing rather than in the only thing that can satisfy. God says He knows your need before it comes. Before you ask. So don't worry about your needs. God will provide them. He knows what they are. In Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust Him." God knows whether I trust Him. Now, it doesn't say that He will be only a stronghold for those who do trust Him, but He knows those who are responding and hiding in the stronghold that He is. He knows whether I trust Him. And if I don't, He knows how to build that trust in me. In 2 Timothy 2:19, "The Lord knows all those who are His." He knows your character. He knows everything about you. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, God knows your condition. Paul was killed at Lystra. But he didn't know whether he went to heaven in the body or out of the body. But God knew his condition. That's what Paul said. God knows whether I was in the body or out of the body. God knows my condition when I do not. God knows all things about me. 2 Samuel 7:20. God knows his servant. You, O Lord, know your servant. He knows his servant's heart. He knows his servant's thoughts. He knows his servant's way. He knows his servant's capacity. He knows exactly how to use his servant. He knows how to build him. And he knows how to express himself through him. In Exodus 33:17, God says, the Lord said to Moses, I love this passage. The Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. God knows who you are. He knows the character. He knows the history. He knows what makes you up. He knows your thought process. He knows everything that is in you. He knows the fibers of your being. He knows these things. God knows. God knows what motivates you. God knows what holds you back. God knows what hangs you up. God knows what keeps you going. He knows these things. These are things God knows. Isaiah 45 and verse 3. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, am the God of Israel. God knows your name and He calls you by it. He sees you. He sees you. He knows you and He knows your name. He doesn't ignore you. He calls you. And when He does call you, in Isaiah 42, He takes you by the hand and He keeps you. Because He knows exactly how to do it. Amen?